The high water events of just a week ago remind us that our region is prone to extremes of water and fire. In the winter and spring, the water can get very high. In the summer and fall, the fires can burn very hot, and in recent summers leave a lot of smoke in the air. But the smoke and the fire and the floods have visited many times through the years, even if we just focus on recorded history, which is the focus of our next guest. Ron Brown is known to Southern Oregonians for his many years anchoring morning newscasts on KDRV Channel 12 in Medford. He also produced a long series of history reports for the station, first called Oregon Century, later called Oregon Trail. And Ron will deliver a talk on fire and flood, disasters in the Rogue Valley, tomorrow at the Medford Library, next week at the Ashland Library. Ron Brown, we worked together for 24 years. Good to see you and in the same room again.
Well, it is. It's great to be here, and I'm marveling at your facility because I can remember the old, your original facility, which was kind of in a basement, kind of a dungeon sort of place. And this is wonderful because you can look out the windows, and I'm looking at the hills. And as we talk about disasters, and it's interesting, the lead story today is about the tornadoes in Alabama and all of that. We don't often get anything like that in this area, but as you mentioned, we get fires and floods. And I look up at the hills up here, and I'm thinking back to 1959 and a big fire that came over these hills and right up to the city limits of Ashland. And I think that's in the memory of fire officials and others in this area, that there are disasters just waiting to happen, and we never know when they're going to strike. And so you just need to be prepared for them. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about in the Windows in Time presentation. Just look back at what happened and the impacts that that had on our region.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the 1959 fire, because that's certainly one within your lifetime in the region. And I was going to ask if you remember either of the big floods from either 55 or 64, or perhaps both.
I remember both of those. I grew up in Oregon. I was born in Klamath Falls. We moved to the Rogue Valley in 1951, and I was just a little kid then. And I remember the 55 flood, but it's interesting. Living in Gold Hill, it was dramatic in that area, but I didn't see the river. We had water all around our house, and it was because of poor drainage and storm drain systems that backed up and flooded around our backyard. Matter of fact, my cousins came down and built a little raft, and we were paddling around, just playing in the water in the backyard. And the water came within 3 or 4 inches of coming in our back door. It came right up. It was right up to the floorboards of the house underneath. The 64 flood I remember very well because I was a freshman in college and just came home with a carload of guys from Utah, and it was snowing like crazy in Klamath Falls as we were driving home. But soon after we were starting to come down Highway 140, that was brand new road at that time, and it just was pouring down. It was a little fuzzy raindrops here and there, and then it was pouring down rain, and within a day or two, we just had a raging flood, and Gold Hill was shut off for a couple days there. The roads were all closed, and then afterwards, then the snows came back again. So in order to get back to school, we had to detour around up through Crater Lake on over to Idaho, through Bend in Idaho. We drove almost all the way to Idaho on tire chains. And a friend of ours that was with us had gave us a little bag of repair links for the tire chains, and we were driving 60 miles an hour on tire chains, vooba, 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 and then just rumble, 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 rumble the whole way, and then every once in a while, then bang, 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 we pull off the side of the road, fix the tire chains, and take off, 24-hour trip to get back to Utah, and it took, of course, months for a lot of the bridge washed out at Shady Cove, and roads were washed out. And if they weren't washed out, the snow would close them, and landslides and all those things.
Wow. So just within Ron Brown's own memory, lots to talk about here as we talk about the history of natural disasters in the region. Ron Brown's Windows in Time talk is called The Fire and Flood Disasters in the Rogue Valley. Wednesday at the Medford Library, and they're both at noon, is this right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then March 13th at the Ashland Library from noon to 1. You can join the conversation here and now. Share stories about your own experiences with fires and floods in the Rogue Valley, because if you've spent more than about 5 years here, you've probably seen at least one, if not both. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I was going to ask about things like infrastructure with the floods, because, I mean, some bridges survive floods and some don't. I've watched this process myself in the 33 years I've been here, but you've got a longer history there and seen a bunch of that sort of thing.
Several years ago, I interviewed an old fellow in Gold Hill. He was in his 90s at that time, and this was back, maybe around, it was 18, 19 years ago. Wilmer Bailey was his name. And he had lived in Gold Hill through the 20s. 1927 was a major flood that was pretty much like the 55 and 64 floods that turned around and led to the Rogue Basin Project and getting Lost Creek Dam and Applegate Dam built to try and do some flood control. But anyway, he talked about those of you who are familiar with the bridge coming into Gold Hill from I-5, right there by town, it was built in 1927. The old bridge into town was upstream of the railroad trestle, just immediately upstream, and that had been built in 1911. And so they had just built this new bridge across the river, and it's 1927, and the scaffolding and all the framework was still in place underneath the bridge. The bridge was basically done, but they hadn't yet removed all the framework. And he said that high water came down, and it just pushed all that framework out, and it just went floating down the river. The bridge stayed, and it's still there and still serves, but it was a huge flood. And then when the 1955 flood and then later the 64 flood came along, and then there was a real effort to try and mitigate some of those impacts. But you had, after the 64 flood, the road to the coast, Highway 199 was badly washed out. You had bridges washed out all over the place, most notably the Shady Cove Bridge in the Rogue Valley. And so there was a lot of work needed to be done. And at the very least, approaches to bridges were washed out. So things were paralyzed for quite a while, or at least greatly restricted around our area.
So when you see an event that looks like it might lead up to a flood, I mean, do you get that sense of like, oh boy, I've seen this before, and I can see something developing out of this, as happened, for example, in the was it end of 96, beginning of 97 flood?
New Year's Day, 97. And folks in Ashland mostly remember that. It's interesting. Some of these floods are located, seem to be centered in different areas. The 97 flood, the river, Rogue River, got very high, but not landmark high, I suppose. But the folks in Ashland really saw it because the creek came right down through the plaza and caused a lot of damage. And that happened almost instantly at about shortly after midnight. And this was New Year's Day on both sides of the Siskiyous, down in the Klamath River drainage and on both sides. All of a sudden, the snow just couldn't take that rain anymore. And that's the factor around here. It seems like most of the big floods around here come after a very heavy, wet snow that clear to the valley floor, where you've got deep snow and then a heavy, wet rain, a heavy, warm rain, I should say, right on top of it. And it just can't take it anymore, and it all comes at once. We don't get the real toad strangler rage storms that you sometimes see in the South and some of those places,
like 10 inches in 3 hours or something.
Yeah, like in the Southwest or someplace, those kind of flash floods are. And if I could just mention some of the research that I did for stories on these things, I relied a lot upon Leon Hunsaker. And Leon Hunsaker, by the way, still alive and well.
Still going okay.
Out the Hugo Hilton, and a great guy, showing the effects of his seniority a little bit, but a wonderful fellow, and has done a lot of research on these very things. And he made his fame and fortune predicting that 64 flood. And that's kind of what gave him a lot of credibility. And he continued research for years. And that's what he says. That's what it is in this area, these monsoonal rains that come in on top of very heavy snows. And that's the ticket for getting a flood in this area.
Leon Hunsaker, as I knew him later in his career, was the chief meteorologist at KTVL, the CBS affiliate in Medford. But before that, had been at KPIX in San Francisco, and in fact, was called back a couple of times in his Medford stint to fill in there.
And even before that, he was a meteorologist for PG&E. Mm-hmm. And so he saw these storms. We didn't have weather satellites in those days in the early 60s. And so he did watch the weather maps. And he saw this system developing over Europe. And as he watched that moving across, and it didn't take very many hours for it to come across all the way across Asia, and it was shaping up, and he knew his weather history enough to see the patterns that were developing, and he told the bosses at PG&E, says, you may have some big trouble if all that water comes down in your reservoirs and your behind your hydroelectric dams. You better drain some of that water off, and they did, and it helped soften the impacts in some places. His theory is that the really big flood in recorded history came in 1861, and it was a series of floods. It hit southern Oregon heavily. Matter of fact, apparently from the history is, there was no town of Gold Hill at that time. Where the city of Gold Hill is now was underwater. And in that 1861 flood, water went out into where White City is now. All that area was flooded. But in California, it came in wave after wave after wave. And he says, that could happen again, and there's no way in the world they're prepared to deal with that. The emergency response people just don't have the resources to deal with that if and when it ever comes again. And he says it's only a matter of time. We keep talking about the big earthquake that's going to come. He says the Pacific Coast, and particularly California, could be in great danger if one of those ever comes again.
Fires, floods, and now earthquakes are a topic of discussion here on the Jefferson Exchange with Ron Brown, a longtime journalist based at a TV station in Medford, KDRV, where he and I worked together for the better part of, well, 2.5 decades nearly. You can join the conversation as we talk about fires and floods, disasters in the Rogue Valley, which is the title of his talk, tomorrow at noon at the Medford Library, next Wednesday at noon at the Ashland Library. Join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange or share some stories about some of the notable natural disaster events you have witnessed in your own time in the region. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I was going to ask you, Ron, about the mid-60s or the early 60s, 1860s, because the pictures of the engravings of Sacramento with people getting around on boats, is that the same storm we're talking about, 61, 62?
Yes, and it came about. It started in January, in December, and it was always the same kind of thing where you had heavy snows, and then the rains just came in. He says, Leon says, the problem in mapping all this out was that the official records were lost. And so you have to go back to a great extent to old newspaper reports and all the written journal reports and all those kinds of things. My wife is from Riverside, California. And those of you who are from that area or are familiar with that area know the Santa Ana River today is just a trickle down. It's like a lot of those rivers in that Los Angeles Basin area kind of. But it roared down through there and wiped out a whole town and killed a lot of people. So it was all the way clear from the Mexican border all the way up into southern Oregon, this whole storm in the 1860s.
For the really big events for southern Oregon in particular, does it seem like it's often an end of the year, beginning of the next year kind of thing where you've got I've often told people that, you know, don't try to travel between Christmas and New Year because it seems like the worst weather of the year tends to fall in that week.
Mostly it is. Mostly it seems to be December, January, sometimes February. That's when you're most likely to get the floods, and that's been the pattern. 1927 flood. I just want to mention the Southern Oregon Historical Society has a great treasure trove of information in what's called the Copco newsreel films.
Oh, right.
There was a guy named Horace Bromley, who was the local power company representative here. It was the California-Oregon Power Company. And Horace Bromley was somewhat of an amateur filmmaker, and he would go around and film events that were happening, parades and festivals and construction things and natural events that were happening. And he filmed that 1927 flood. And you look at that, Riverside Avenue in Medford was underwater. There were cars driving up to the running boards down Riverside Avenue in Medford because Bear Creek had flooded up that high. And so...
Yeah. Those Copco news here, I remember, were quite a treasure trove for those of us who came along in later years. We're going, wow, this is what things were like back then. So it gets to the point of that obviously you're not just talking about stuff that you have witnessed yourself, although you've been around for quite a few events in the region. But it sounds like as you began to pull the thread, I mean, more and more things began coming out. You began hearing about more events over the years.
That's right. And the presentation that we're doing in Windows in Time is going to be largely centered around some of these Oregon Century and Oregon Trail videos. We're going to be showing a number of those stories. And also we get into fires because we mentioned at the beginning of the segment here the Ashland Fire of 1959. I don't know that we'll talk about that, but people will have some memories of that. But there were some other amazing fires. Last year's fires
Paradise.
Paradise, yes, Paradise. And then we had the fire in Weed a couple years before that and all of these things. We had there is hardly a town in our region that didn't have at least one major fire. And myself, having had a house fire a number of years ago, I also—
Not related to a wildfire.
But not related to a wildfire, but I realized that towns are like families in that almost everyone experiences a major fire at one time, a devastating fire at one time or another.
Have there been any, I mean, destructive in terms of life fires in the region? I mean, because we're talking about, settled, recorded white people history here coming in a time when there were terrible fires, like the Peshtigo Fire in Wisconsin of 1871, same day as the Chicago Fire.
That's right. And kind of lost to history because the Chicago Fire got all the headlines. But you mentioned that Peshtigo Fire. And then later on at the around 1910, massive fires that came across through Idaho and burned like 3 million acres just in a couple days, which really led to fire suppression and the Forest Service policies and stuff on that. In our area, probably the most devastating fire, and in terms of loss of life, there's two that come to my mind. One was in Klamath Falls in 1920. It burned most of a block. It was called the Houston Hotel Fire. And it came on the eve of Labor Day, and the town was packed with people. There was going to be a big parade on Labor Day and everything else. And this one hotel, this popular old wooden hotel, packed with people and caught fire and killed. There were about 15 people. They never determined accurately for certain how many people died in that fire because it burned everything just to ashes, and it was confusing as to what the remains were. And of course, they didn't have DNA in those days to try and sort out the remains and everything else. The other one that comes to mind that there may be some folks in the viewing, the listening area can remember is the Bandon Fire of 1936 on the Central Oregon coast. And that started, there had been some slash fires being burned, but the winds picked up and it was so hot and dry. It was like a summer we had this last summer. And it got into, a lot of people blamed the gorse. And gorse is...
Oh, right, the invasive species.
Yes, it was actually planted by early Scottish immigrants and Irish immigrants as a hedge thing, and it just went amok and it spread every place. And it's a very volatile fuel.
Let me take a phone call here from Joseph in White City. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about historical fires and floods with Ron Brown.
Yeah, hi, Ron. We're related. Ron knows me, and I've been lucky enough to fly helicopters in the valley here for over 20 years, and both on fires for ODF and Forest Service. And I was flying in the 97 flood for probably 2 hours. I was up with one of the TV stations, and I don't recall which one. But over the period of time, we were flying between Lost Creek Lake and Ashland and Rogue River. And in that period of time, it was pretty much as Ron described there, that all of the pastures, all of the grassy areas suddenly took on a mirror-like sheen. And almost instantly, every place that could be flowing water towards the Rogue River, it was flowing. And at the same time, when we went up to Lost Creek, it had topped out and it was just starting to bypass and zipped over to Ashland. And we saw the log that was clogging up the big drainage pipe, and the water started to flow through downtown. And I don't know where the footage is from that, but boy, it was certainly a pretty exciting time. And as a matter of fact, while we were flying, was when the last sort of big wave of water was coming down, and as it started to taper off, we realized how fortunate the whole valley was that didn't continue.
That didn't get worse, yeah. All right. Thanks for that story, Joseph. Great description, and I hope we can find the footage on that.
I flew over Reeder Reservoir with the sheriff. There was a lot of log debris up in Reeder Reservoir, and they were trying to get that cleared out, and so I got to see over that. I went down the Klamath River Canyon, down Highway 96, and down close to Syad Valley, as I recall, I can't remember the exact area, there was an area where a bridge had almost washed out, but there was a family living just below the Highway 96 bridge at that point. Their house was just between the bridge and the Klamath River. And they had been up celebrating New Year's Eve and all this sort of thing, and were just putting the kids to bed. And I think it was around 1 o'clock in the morning, and they heard this terrible roar. They said it sounded. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm seeing signals here, and it sounded like a train coming, and they weren't quite sure until they found out. They had in their mind exactly what was happening, that there was a wall of water coming down the mountain towards their place. They were able to grab the kids and grab a blanket and get out of the house just before that wall of water hit. And I was up there the next day, and the house was filled up almost to the ceiling, full of gravel and dirt and everything.
Yeah, I do remember them taking the gravel out of the Ashland Plaza after the 97
flood. Oh, a lot of debris came down, yes.
Ned in Talent writes, the High Sierras now have about 20 feet of snowpack with 4 more feet forecast for next week. Heaven forbid a Pineapple Express. The conditions we were talking about that caused these big Christmas floods. Ron Brown's talk is called, it's a Windows in Time presentation from the Southern Oregon Historical Society. Fire and Flood Disasters in the Rogue Valley, tomorrow at noon at the Medford Library, next Wednesday at noon at the Ashland Library. Ron Brown, such a pleasure to see you again.